You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pick up 40 chicken McNuggets and tangy Cajun sauce at Macca's drive-thru today.
Welcome to the Macca's Run.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Macca's Run. Wonderful to have your company. It's Brett Phillips in the chair on this Monday night. Certainly not in Melbourne, but all the way in California for a big edition of the First Serve after 8 o'clock from Indian Wells, where I'll be for the next 3 weeks. So we'll talk a bit of tennis, as we do every Monday night after 8 o'clock. Sporting Capital up after 10 o'clock tonight. But as we always do at this time on a Monday night, we recap the day's sporting news. Happy to hear from you on the Harcourts Open Line, 1-300-736-736 for all things real estate. Speak to Harcourts, your move at your Harcourts. If you want to send through a temper text, 0433 98 1116. Consumer choice winner, temper mattresses, pillows and adjustable bases conforms to the exact shape of your body. Been another big day in sport, as covered right across all the programs here on the SEN. Always plenty of news floating around on a Monday night as well, and anything that does break will certainly bring it to you. A bigger two-hour edition of the First Serve after 8 o'clock. So we will dive deep into Indian Wells. Of course, the big news in sport today around tennis, Novak Djokovic, of course, withdrawing from this tournament. So no great surprise. They haven't lifted the full COVID restrictions at the moment, which means he won't be able to play the swing, the sunshine swing, as it's affectionately referred, but hopefully the US Open later in the year. But we'll touch on that after 8 o'clock. The news around Liverpool today, I caught a glimpse of this, beating Manchester United 7-0 in the Premier League. Record loss for the Red Devils, quite extraordinary. The biggest loss for Manchester United across all competitions, and their first seven-goal defeat since 1931. United coach Erik ten Hag said it was an unprofessional performance. Six of the seven goals actually came in the second half, which was quite extraordinary. Earlier today, I was listening into the run home. Andy and Gazy did compare that loss to a Carlton Collingwood match with top four ramifications being decided by 140 points. I was just thinking, and I want to put it to you out there, 1-300-736-736, some other big sporting equivalents of a margin this big. I mean, we can probably think of, you know, a few in footy across the journey, but that is quite extraordinary, certainly in the Premier League, of, you know, two clubs that have been right up at the pointy end for some time. But Liverpool, 7-0 over Manchester United, quite an extraordinary scoreline today. So if there's anything that jumps off the page there in terms of other sporting equivalents of a margin quite astronomical, let us know. 1-300-736-736. Plenty of footy news, of course, bubbling around today. Collingwood midfielder Patrick Lipinski is facing months on the sidelines after undergoing shoulder surgery. Confirmed today, Sam Edmund reporting that Lipinski went under the knife and isn't expected to return until the second half of the Pies' home and away campaign. So was said to have enjoyed an excellent pre-season despite the off-season operation, but immediately reached for his left shoulder after attempting to tackle Hawthorn's Sam Butler in the last quarter of Thursday's practice match in Launceston. What does that mean, Pies fans, in terms of the midfield mix, as Collingwood try and replicate their fine deeds of making a prelim last year? I mean, surely you couldn't have 2 years in a row where you win so many close games, but that's a fascinating, I suppose, selection conundrum, certainly for Collingwood, the midfield mix. I mean, certainly they've recruited enough depth to, if one player goes down, it's certainly, and every club, or certainly the better clubs, are in a position of more depth where one player's not going to totally hurt you, but certainly Lipinski had made a really good impression coming across from the Dogs. A bit of cricket news around. Pat Cummins has chosen to remain in Australia and miss the fourth test against India. Quite extraordinary. And we'll hear a little bit of the feedback today around Australia's magnificent win against India after being down and out after those first two test matches. But Cummins, of course, missed the third test, electing to fly home to be with his mum, Maria, who is in palliative care. And as we know, family absolutely comes first, even if you're the Australian cricket captain. And confirming Cricket Australia today that the fast bowler won't return for the final test, with Steve Smith once again to lead the side. He captained Australia in Indore to a 9-wicket win on the weekend, was praised for his leadership in the aftermath. And of course, the Aussies have also copped a blow to their one-day squad to play India later in March. Jai Richardson has been ruled out with a hamstring injury and will be replaced by Nathan Ellis for the three-game series. We might have a little listen in to Gerard Whateley and Crash Craddock on Australia's win in the third test, speaking earlier today on SEN.
Australia was brilliant in Indore, Crash, and I think when it's all against you, so coming off bitter disappointments, the conditions contrived to further inflict pain and misery, that's when you learn the worth of a team. That's when you realise its character. There was nothing settled about the Australian setup after Delhi. Players in and players out. But something happened within that group which tells you about the leadership, the stoicism and the true character of it. And they outplayed India from the very first ball of that test match.
They did. And, Jared, one of our greatest ever victories. I mean, let's go back to after the first over. Australia had lost the toss. They were bowling. They'd won the previous eight tosses. They lost that one. They were bowling. Pat Cummins wasn't there. And in the first over, they had two reviews against Rohit Sharma, which would have dismissed him and didn't take him. It was misery. Honestly, I felt at that point they were 20-1 chances to win the test, and they won it.
So that was Gerard and Crash on Australia's win in the third test. Always great listening to Crash Craddock on with Gerard Whateley throughout the year. They also discussed Steve Smith's captaincy back in the hot seat, and well, he led beautifully.
Debating Robert Craddock, what did you make of Australia's vice captain as he filled in an Indore to ground reviews?
Yeah, well, it was these in-out fields they set where they try and attack and defend at the same time. And I know they put a lot of time thinking of it, but every time India pierced the field, there seemed to be someone there. And I reckon that's an absolute art form, but his body language was good. He didn't dwell over setbacks. I have to say, Jared, I think vice-captaincy is his place. Just coming in for the occasional captain test appearance when Cummins is out, it just works really well. It's so obvious now to say, oh, I should be full-time captain, but I agree with him. I think that's the best fit.
Yeah, stepped into the shoes beautifully, Steve Smith, and as we mentioned, confirmation that Pat Cummins won't be back for the fourth test. So Steve Smith once again to lead Australia. You can send your temper text through 0433 98 11 16. I thought I might get a couple of Fitzroy ones around Liverpool beating Manchester United 7-0. Of course, one here. Don't forget the Roy Boys beating the Demons by 190 points. Brett Wayne from beautiful Mermaid Beach, 1979. Wayne, I'm pretty sure that was out at Waverley Park, and it was a good day. I was a pretty young man following Fitzroy. I don't have great recollections of that day. My real memories, as I read out this text from Deary at Ocean Grove, BP, you might remember 1983. I think Fitzroy played North Melbourne, maybe a top two battle at the Junction Oval. The Lions won by 150 points or thereabouts. Now, I've got a feeling Bernie Quinlan might have been on a bit of a tear that day. He was just kicking drop punts from about 70, 75 out. So they're my earliest recollections of supporting Fitzroy on a couple of cans trying to stand up. I wasn't on the cans, but I was standing on the cans to try and actually see over a few people as a 9, 10-year-old. And they were great days. And they were kicking some cricket scores back then. I'm glad you mentioned the positives, not maybe a couple of negatives around the Roys. So we've heard from Crash Craddock and also Jared Waitley, plenty of cricket news around. And the other bit of footy news, of course, Trent Cotchin and Jordan Ngoi both being cleared to play in round one despite being sanctioned by the AFL's match review officer. Cotchin has been fined $1,500 for misconduct after a scuffle with Melbourne's James Harms on Saturday. Ngoi, which has certainly made the headlines and plenty of commentary around this over the weekend, has been fined $3,000 for his dangerous tackle on Hawthorn's Lloyd Meek in Launceston on Thursday, which was classified as rough conduct, careless and also low impact. You might want to weigh in on that. 1-300-736-736 or on the temper text 0433-98-1116. As we edge closer to the AFL season, it's always great to listen to the wise voice of Nathan Buckley joining Kane Corns every Monday on Breakfast on SEM. He ran through a few teams today, Bucks. A lot of scrutiny certainly around Port Adelaide this year with Ken Hinckley and the final year of a contract, and where's that going to land, Ken? Many thinking that the end of the road possibly might come this year. Port Adelaide bullish, they can certainly be better. I don't know if everyone totally shares that view, but Nathan Buckley commented on Port Adelaide and their chances on Breakfast this morning.
I think they could win as few as 10 and as many as 16. I have them as big swingers, which was very similar to last year. And they end up winning 10 games after a terrible start. So I think they've got great talent. They're just looking for synergy, looking for that rising tide lifts all boats type thing, that where the players actually come together and make each other better. I don't think we're seeing that in the last 18 months, definitely last year.
Where did Port Adelaide sit for you? 1-300-736-736. If we think through the Ken Hinckley era, I mean, they've made a number of prelims, of course. They've had a couple of down seasons. They have been able to regroup and put a sort of a bad year, if you like. Port Adelaide have never totally bottomed out under Ken, but when they've gone back to being that sort of middle of the road team, they've been able to bounce back and become a legitimate finals team again, a top four team. Where have you got them sitting, Port Adelaide, as they continue to get a heap of games into their young talent? And obviously, with Rosie and Butters really coming on in the last year or two, I mean, a lot's going to be on their shoulders, but they're ready. They're ready to lead this Port Adelaide midfield, there's no doubt. West Coast, fascinating. The Eagles this year already got some early season injuries. It was a nightmare year in 2022. Kane Corns on West Coast chances in 2023.
The woeful Eagles, they were awful at West Coast. Hard to watch. The chip, that rubbish ball movement's back. Adam Simpson said on Thursday, we underperformed at home. We want to get the fans back and give them something to cheer about. That's a priority for us. Well, no Eagles fan is going to turn up to watch that rubbish. 116 marks for 51 points, 351 disposals, and they went inside 55 times in the first quarter. So he's got some issues. Gaff and Kelly, two big, highly paid players, 6 and 7 kicks respectively. So issues everywhere at the Eagles.
Yeah, tough early going for West Coast in terms of some personnel heading in towards round one. And yeah, we probably need a few rounds, don't we, to really see how they're going to shape up. Quite a few texts coming through just on the back of our first story of the Macca's Run tonight around Liverpool beating Manchester United 7-0. Comparisons, sporting equivalents of a margin that big. Adelaide Crows thumping the Hawks in their first ever game in the AFL. Yeah, at Footy Park, that was about 86 points, I think it was. Just like the Dolphins winning, that was extraordinary over the weekend, 28-18 against the Roosters. He's got the Midas touch. Wayne Bennett into his 70s, a year out of the game, and coming back to lead the new Dolphins. Of course, up there in Brisbane, there's some competition across town from the club that he guided to so much success in the Brisbane Broncos. Check St Kilda versus Geelong, 1897. It's been downhill for my Saints since then. We kicked 1 point. Thank you, Justin. Brett, Fitzroy Football Club talk music to my ears. Thanks, Cam. I know, Cam. I could talk about it all night and reflect on Fitzroy, but it's not probably what everyone wants to hear. I was at the Junction Oval that day, 150 points. North are on top of the ladder, round 13. Thank you, Paul, for sharing that. They were good days, the early 80s for Fitzroy, no doubt about that. Essendon, a lot of fascination around the Bombers this year. As we head to the break, let's have a listen to Kane and Bucks on the Bombers' chances on Breakfast this morning.
I've heard that same audio from that same player multiple times. Less talk, more action from Essendon, please.
Yeah, it's I think it's difficult as a leader to stand up consistently in front of that performance in the background. And once again, it is only early. We'll know a little bit more about the
Dons last year.
Four to six. Yeah, agreed. But we've got a new coach, and we've got a new. Yeah, you know, style and potentially a new concept to put together. It's gonna take us 4 to 6 weeks to know what the Dons are gonna do in 23. But we know that this isn't a 3 month fix. This is a 3 year fix.
Pick up 40 chicken McNuggets and tangy Cajun sauce at Macca's drive thru today.
Welcome to the Macca's Run.
Welcome back to the Macca's Run. Brett Phillips in the chair on this Monday night, coming to you from the Californian desert, from Indian Wells, a big edition of the First Serve coming up after 8. You can join us on the Harcourts open line, 1300 736 736 for all things real estate. Speak to Harcourts, you'll move your Harcourts. You can jump on the text, which plenty of you have done already, 0433 98 11 16, the temper text. And you can pick up the McValue bundle at Macca's, $26.95 at Macca's. Get in and grab that. I'm feeling a little hungry. It is it's the early hours of Monday morning here in California. So not doing this at the kindest hour, but I can tell you, nice and sharp, ready to go for a big first serve after 8 o'clock. But we are recapping the day's sporting news here as part of the Macca's Run. We might have a little further listen to Bucks and Kane from Breakfast, going through a lot of the teams and their predictions for 2023. Nathan Buckley on the Blues under Michael Voss, looking to try and make the finals after just missing out last year.
Carlton have work to do. I was quoted as saying they might not make it, and there is a potential. You know, I think that it's not. It's not run and won. It's not something that I'd be expecting to be a fait accompli. And they didn't have Paddy Cripps, who is their contestable leader and their heart and their soul, and he's dragged them over the line quite a few times. They didn't have Sam Walsh, who eventually will come back into that side and is one of the best transition runners in the competition, let alone in Carlton's team. But they cannot just roll into this season and assume improvement and assume that they're going to go from ninth to into the finals. It's the hardest position to make up between ninth and eighth at the end of the year on the ladder. Their top end is elite. Their clearance work into their forward aerial, when they get that game going, they're nearly unbeatable. Their plan A and the best of their best is as good as any team in the competition. But their transition efficiency needs work. So when you haven't got your A game going and you need to grind it out, I'm not sure how they hold up effectively and efficiently against momentum against them. And I think that the whack on top of this, the psychological challenge, and Vossi spoke about this in an article on the AFL website, they're trying to stay in the moment. They want to make sure that they're not getting ahead of themselves. And we've got to deal with things step by step as we go along. Saying that is the right attitude. Doing it is harder than actually the words that you need to caution against it.
So that's Nathan Buckley on the Blues. We might have just one last grab here from Nathan. He's got a clear top four for 2023.
Looking at this year, I've got a clear top four. I think Geelong, Melbourne, Brisbane and Sydney are clear top four. I have Geelong winning as little as 16, as many as 19. I don't think they can win less than 16. I mean, obviously they could, but I think that's their spread. Melbourne, I have 15-18. Brisbane, 15-18. Sydney, 15-18. So I think they're a clear top four in my eyes. I don't think anyone goes near those four teams.
Whether you agree with that, we can discuss that after 10 o'clock with the Sporting Capital tonight. Dean's gone with his top eight here on the Temper Text. Melbourne, Brisbane, Collingwood, Geelong, the Bulldogs, Richmond, Carlton, and also Sydney, with Fremantle just missing out after their great year last year. And just one other there from Dean in terms of beltings on the back of Liverpool thrashing Manchester United, 2007 Grand Final, Geelong by 119 against Port Adelaide. I think I was working overnights on that Saturday morning on this very radio station. Got up to watch the Grand Final, a little bleary-eyed. I think I was back asleep about midway through the second quarter as Geelong broke their 44-year premiership drought. Not because I wasn't enjoying the Cats, a little tired working overnight, and it was really a no contest. First serve coming up from Indian Wells from 8 o'clock. Join me for that.